Let me begin by first making sure that we all understand that God does not want any of His children to perish. Amen? God wants every one of His children to come to Him with a repentant heart. To come to Him with a repentant heart means to have your life that has changed. You know, you got away from the old and now you're walking in the new. Walking in the newness of Jesus Christ. I love what the Bible talks about over in 2 Peter chapter 3, down in verse 9, where God's Word says, "The Lord is not slack concerning," watch this, "His promise," as some count slackness, "but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all come to Him," and with what kind of heart? A repentant heart. Someone that is making that change, someone that is all about Christ Jesus. If you look down at the book of Luke, chapter 13, over in verse 3, you also see where the Bible says, what does the Bible say in Luke 13, 3? "I tell you, but unless you will all likewise perish." If you go to the two verses down in verse 5, "I tell you no," or "I tell you nay, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." We have a promise from the Word of God that if we don't make that change, if we don't become children of His, faithfully obedient children of His, I promise you, as Brother Larry just alluded to during the Lord's Supper, our souls will be destroyed. Now understand, when the Bible talks about that destruction of our soul, it doesn't mean that our soul will be destroyed and that'll be the end of it. It means that we will suffer, brothers and sisters, for eternity. I did not say spend eternity, I said for eternity, because it's something that'll never end. If we do not have our life right with God while we are here, while we have an opportunity to serve Him and to serve Him well, why would we expect God's grace after the day of judgment? Does that make sense? So many people, as sad as it is, may think, well, I can just live any way I want to live. I can do whatever I want to do. I can say whatever I want to say. I can respond however I want to respond. And then that's just the way it is. I can live in whatever situation I live in. And I'm just going to toy in my relationship with God. And then on judgment, hopefully He'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I think not. I'm not standing here to judge you, and you can't judge me, but we are judged by His Word. Do you agree with that? And His Word tells each and every one of us that we must have, not should have, not ought to, but that we must have a repentant life. Luke 13, 3 and 5 tells you that. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that. Friends and family, I want you to know today, and I've got great news for you. God is looking for His children. Amen? Will you say that with me? God is looking for His children. For those of you that are faithful, obedient children of God, God is looking for you to continue doing what you're doing, to continue to even grow. Even though you're in a good relationship with God, He still expects growth out of every one of us. Does that make sense? The Bible says it over in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever." So God expects growth for you and me to continue. God is looking for His children. He wants every one of His children to dwell with Him and to dwell with Him for eternity. We need to remember or be reminded, Courtney, that Jesus is preparing a great place for me and you, isn't He? In John chapter 14, 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many. If it were not so, I would have..." All right, Jesus says, "I'm going there to prepare a place for you." Isn't that what He said? "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, finish it up." Say it like you mean it. There you'll be also. So what a great promise that we have from Almighty God, that His Son, Jesus Christ, that our Savior is preparing a mansion for you and for me. I hope and pray that you aren't measuring life about what we have here. Now, God has blessed us with the physical agility to get up to do what we've done so far today. He's blessed us with food in our belly and clothes up on our back. And He just continues to bless us. But I hope you understand that there's way more to life than what you see here. Do we agree with that? The life that we don't necessarily see is the life that I want. I want the life, Larry, that is promised to me in His Word. I want an everlasting peace. I want everlasting hope. I want everlasting security. I want everlasting love. I want that place where there's no more darkness. I want that place where there's no wailing or gnashing of teeth. I want that place where there's going to be no death, no sickness, no pain, no sorrow. And the only way we're going to get that is to be sure that we understand that God is looking for His children, and here we are. Say that with me. Here we are doing what God is calling us to do today, and that is to remain faithful unto Him. Now, let me tell you why I brought that up. There's a lot of people in our religious world today, a lot of Christians today, that can become stale in their walk with Christ. Do you think that's possible? Do you think it's possible that as a child of God, we've been Christian for so long and we just find ourselves in a routine? Well, Sunday morning, we get up, we get the kids ready, we get the grandkids ready, we do this, we eat breakfast, we do this, we get in the car, we fly down the interstate, break the laws of land to try to get there on time, and then we go in, we listen to Jerry or the preacher for a while, and then we do what we do, and then we dismiss, and we go home. I'm afraid that we're getting so caught up in a routine, we're missing the picture. You think that's possible? Y'all think that's possible? So I want to remind us how important it is to remember that God is looking for His children, His faithful children, to continue to do what He's calling us to do. His faithful children to continue to hold to those teachings that we read about in His Word. The beauty of all that is I want you to know this, that God is not playing a child's game of hide and go seek. He's not playing a child's game of lost and found. He's not doing any of that stuff. God is truly looking for you and me this very day. He's looking for the faithful Christians to remain faithful. And He's looking for the non-Christian today to come home. To come home to the Father. Believe me when I tell you, you don't want what you're seeing up on earth to be your eternal home. Because what you're seeing here, Larry used that word again, destroyed. Do you understand that this earth will be destroyed and all that's in it? Or people agreed with that. Do you understand it's going to be destroyed and everything in it? Absolutely. So why would you risk your soul being here? Why would you risk your soul in hell? God is calling the prodigal. He's calling His children. He's calling everyone just to come to Him with a repentant heart. A heart that we give to Jesus Christ. A heart that we recognize that we wash in the blood of the Lamb. And we recognize when we do what God's calling us to do, our name is written where, Jared? In the Lamb's Book of Life. The only one that can erase that is you. Some would say, well, God will erase it. No, He won't. I promise you, because the Bible says if we're faithful unto death, Jesus says, I'll give you the crown of life. God just didn't all of a sudden one day, Larry, get in a bad mood and say, I'm going to pull Larry Cochran off here. That's not the way that works. I'm going to scratch Jerry and Bobby off of this. That's not the way that works. You're the one that'll cost yourself your salvation. Amen? You are the one, by not responding to God, by not responding to Jesus, you're the one that your name will be removed from the Lamb's Book of Life. So, before we go any further, remember, listen, that God built with you and me, He built us with some intelligence. What I mean by that is He gave us the power of choice, didn't He? Y'all agree with that? He gave us a power to decide. He gave us a way to discern right from wrong. And He allows us to make a decision. And my decision is I'm going to be added to the body of Christ in the Lord's church. I'm going to live for Jesus, or I'm going to live like hell, and I'm going to live for the devil. So you've got one of two choices, live like hell with the devil or live like God in heaven. Amen? Do you like that? But in whose choice is that? That's right. That's right. It's our choice. It's my choice individually on how we're going to live. God is looking for His children. So let me ask the question to the faithful ones. We know that God is looking for us. Are we hiding from Him? Are we hiding sometimes behind some facade that we put in front of us? Do we mask some of our sins sometimes, hiding from God? Or are we out there doing what God's calling us to do? Are we being a soldier of Christ? Are we working in His army? Are we working in His vineyard? Are we marching according to His beat of the drum? Are we doing what God's calling you and me to do? God is looking for His children. Are we avoiding God? Perhaps. I know there's some people today that have put on the breastplate of righteousness, some that claim Christianity, but they don't attend church anywhere. They just don't go. And then when you ask the question, what's going on? Why do you not see the urgency and the importance and the command that we are to be gathered together in the Lord's church? And then you hear things like, well, I got hurt years ago. The preacher said this, or an elder, a deacon said that, and I had some members that judged me. We got member here, a couple of them here, that says that some of their family don't go to James Avenue anymore because something somebody said. Big deal. Who cares? I don't understand how we can allow somebody to tick us off in some way and cost us our salvation. Amen? You can't make me mad enough for me to turn away from God. You can't steer me away from the Lord with anything that you say or do. And I may get ticked off. I may slide back at you, and I may argue back at you for a moment, but you don't have the power to pull me away from my God. I don't have the power to pull you away from God unless you allow it. Amen. So, we go to work every day when the boss talks rough to us. We go to work every day when we don't necessarily agree with the lifestyle of our coworkers. We go to all these different places. We go to a restaurant that may be filthy and the waitresses and servers are mean as snakes, but yet we still go back. We do all these things. But Lord forbid, Larry, if somebody in the Lord's congregation says something a little sharper. Y'all getting this picture? God is looking for His children, His faithful children, to act like we are supposed to act. Are we avoiding Him today? Maybe we're avoiding God because of some bad habit that we have. How many besides the preacher has bad habits? Okay, some of you are perfect. I see my son's going. So some of us are perfect, some are not. I have some bad habits that I'm working on. So that's why we have to pray for the preacher all the time. Amen? Appreciate all three of you guys saying that. But it is, seriously speaking, it is time to put the stuff that's holding us back behind us. Does that make sense? Do not let anyone or anything get in your way of your relationship with Almighty God. You are not worth that. I am not worth that, but God is worth it all. God is calling His children. Let's take a look at a lesson today about how we know that God is looking for His children. Let's check this out. First point is this. God is looking for His children. Listen, God is looking for those that are lost, those that are headed for hell. That point ties in with our introduction, but I want to just reiterate to you that God wants you to come home. God has not given up on you. Do you agree with that? You know how you know He hasn't given up on you? Because you still have what in your body today? You've got life. You've got breath, which means you are being given another opportunity to do what God is calling you to do. He is looking for those that are lost, those that are headed for hell. He wants you to come home. Those that are lost, those that are not in the custody of God. You are either in the custody of God and you are serving in His mansion, your place is being prepared, or you're in the custody of the devil himself. God is looking for the lost, the very one that knows right from wrong, spiritually speaking, the one that keeps rejecting the invitation to come and to put Christ on in baptism. He's calling for you. His arms are outstretched. He is calling for you to come to Him with that repentant heart. He's calling you to make that confession that you believe, no, take that word belief out, that you know that Jesus is God's Son, that you know for a fact He was buried, 3 days later He rose again. He's looking for you to come to Him and put Jesus on in baptism. He's looking for you to live a faithful and obedient life, even unto death. Remember the passage of Scripture that reiterates what I'm talking about today in regards to God looking for the lost. God has provided a way for every single one of the lost people, for all of us to go to Him. John 3:16-17, God so loved that He gave His only begotten, that whosoever believed in Him should not, but have. 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him we might be what, congregation? Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated His own love toward us that while we were yet sinners. Matthew 1:21-23, and she will bring forth a son. You'll call His name Jesus, the Bible says. And He, Jesus, will save His people from what? Their sins. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, look at this, the virgin shall be with a child, bear a son. They're going to call His name Emmanuel, translated three words, God with us. Isn't that awesome? Does that not make you happy today? Awesome. If you're not thrilled by that passage of Scripture, you are crazy if you don't show up at the invitation. Because we can see in this passage of Scripture that no matter what we've done in the past, no matter what we may have said, all of that can be forgiven today if you want to make things right in your relationship with Him. Isn't that awesome? That God invites every one of us to come to Him. It warrants the question, why would anyone put Christ Jesus off and refuse to surrender to the Lord when you know what the pay is for unforgiven sin? In the book of Romans chapter 6, down in verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is, that's right, Tony, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in who? Christ Jesus our Lord. So Jared, we see very, very quickly that if we don't get it right with God, we're going to get it right with the devil. Amen? So we have to remember the wages of sin, your pay for this sin is death, spiritual death. God is looking for the lost. Stop playing games. Game over. Amen? Game over. You need to come back to the Lord. Bring your lost soul to a God who saves us. Bring your lost soul to a Savior who stretched out his hands, and you can see those nailed, scarred hands that he went through. He did that for you and for me. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I, Christ, will give you the crown of life. James chapter 4, over in verse 8, I love this promise. Listen, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. That word nigh means near. You draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Listen to me. But if you resist the Lord, what's he going to do? He's going to resist you. The Bible tells us about the prayers that he listens to. Let's be sure that we understand that God is looking for his children, for those that are lost. Secondly, God is looking for you and me to worship him in spirit and in truth and not forsake his assembly. Amen. All right, just want to make sure, Harvey, I didn't know if you was asleep, but I just want to wake you up. Jerry's got you praying. That's no excuse to doze off. So the reality is we want to make sure that we know that God is looking for you and me to worship him in spirit and in truth and not forsaking the assembly. I wonder why there's so many preachers preaching on that today. I wonder why there are so many preachers throughout the brotherhood that's preaching about forsaking the assembly. Maybe because that's one of our biggest problems in the church today. Do you agree with that? All right, so once again, we got to look at it. Let me begin this point with this passage of Scripture. In the book of John, chapter 14, down in verse 15, the Bible says, if you love me, you will. Good job, Georgia. You will keep my commandments. That means if you love me, you're not going to have to be begged and pleaded with to do what God's calling us to do. Is everybody in agreement? John 15, 14, the Bible tells us, this is what Jesus says to us. Jesus says, you are my friend if you do what I'm calling you to do. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen? We talked about that on Wednesday night just a few weeks ago. You remember that song, Brad, that I pointed at you and wanted you to sing, but then you dozed off and went to sleep, told me no and leave you alone? All right. Look, I hope his wife gets him. That's a good thing. But you remember that one? What a friend we have in Jesus. You heard it correctly. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in Hebrews 10:25, my commandment is not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some. And he says, you have a responsibility. Your responsibility is to exhort one another. And so much more as you what? You know when the assembly's coming together. Amen? Yes or no? All right, so you know when it's coming together. Plan the event. Do you plan for a birthday party? Do you plan for a graduation party? Do you plan for all these different celebrations? Do we plan for a funeral? Yes, we do. That's what we do for a living. That's what I do. So shouldn't we plan for our assembling with the saints at every opportunity? Oh, I only got two yeses out of that one, but got all the other yeses on the rest of it. Folks, I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you, this is the greatest thing in all of the world, is assembling with the saints at every opportunity. I cannot imagine. I'm not judging you. I promise I'm not. I cannot imagine putting anything and everything else before me assembling with the congregation of the Lord's people. I just don't understand it. And maybe I'm just immature. Maybe I just don't get it. But I don't understand why, if one loves God, why, if one loves Jesus Christ, does he or she or they have to be begged and pleaded with and bribed to come to the services of the Lord? When this is the same God, the same Christ, who loves you and demonstrated that love, that Jesus loved you so much, he even gave his life for you. And yet, we look lightly on the assembly. You're going to give an account for that on Judgment Day. Amen? I'm going to give an account for that on Judgment if I'm not taking it serious. Don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together as a matter of some. You have a responsibility to pick up other people. I need your encouragement. What do you think it's like? I know that some of you are not preachers and some of you are. What do you think it's like for the preacher? for your next preacher, and then the one after him, and the one after him, that when they preach and preach and preach, and talk about assembling, and we talk about the importance of God's people coming together, and then you have 45, 48, 52, 70 people on Sunday morning, and 18 to 20 Sunday night, who's not listening? Is the preacher failing? Is the Word of God failing? Or is the people just don't care? Only you can answer that. I want to encourage you to assemble with the saints. It rips a congregation apart when people fail to attend. Do you understand what I'm saying? So many people, I've heard it in my 30-some odd years of being a minister of the gospel, the church needs to do more of this. I'm sick to death of that. Well, the church needs to do more of this. The church needs to do more of that. And the church needs to do this. And the church needs to do that. And then because of me being the preacher with no bedside manner, now I just turn and say, okay, what would you like done? And when do you want to start? And then you ever notice how quick people backpedal then? Well, I ain't saying right now. I'm just saying maybe something. Then they act like they got a mouthful of Fruit Loops and they just can't talk all of a sudden. Folks, listen to me. God's looking for His children to assemble with the saints. Amen? Like it or not, you can be mad at your preacher all you want. I didn't say it. He said it. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, as is a matter of some. Did I read that correctly? Only Jerry said, yeah. Did I read it correctly? Exhorting one another, and you know when the day's approaching, so get it right. God is looking for you in His worship service. Please don't forget what God tells us in John 4:24. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in what? Spirit and in truth. What if God responded to you and me, darling, the way we respond to Him? I want y'all to think about that. Every one of us, think about it. What if God responded to us the way we respond to Him? Sunday morning, here we are. Sometimes Sunday night, never on a Wednesday night. We'll go to God in prayer when things are bad, and we'll say thank you a lot when things are good. But what if God looked at us the way sometimes that we look at Him? Are you getting this or not? Thank God He is much better to me than what I can be to Him. Because our God is a perfect God. He's an awesome God. And He's a God that's looking for His children. But He wants us to improve. Listen, for all that God has done for me and all that He's done for you, why would we not be excited about coming together to worship Him? That I cannot understand. I'm hoping that one day somebody will be able to explain it. Why would we not be thrilled to walk in the door and know that we're here to worship Almighty God, to serve that risen Savior, Jesus Christ? Why would we not be thrilled to lift up our voice in song, Ephesians 5:19, singing and making melody in our heart unto the Lord, praying unto the Father, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, giving back to the Lord as we have been prospered. Larry brought this up a while ago, 1 Corinthians 16:2, partaking of the Lord's Supper the first day of every week, amen? Acts chapter 20, down in verse 7, and preaching and teaching the holy oracles of God, like Paul told Timothy about over in 2 Timothy 4, down in verse 2. Folks, the saved, the Christian, has so much to be thankful for. And the results of his blessings should be this, should be our complete gratitude and obedience unto Him. Are we in agreement? Did I say that correctly? Our gratitude and our complete obedience unto Him. We should desire every day, every moment, to bow our heads before Him and to thank Him over and over and over for what He has done and for what He will do. I appreciate so much Psalm 100, 1 through 5 that Stephen brought to us just a few moments ago. So, I know that you agree with me, or I feel confident you agree with me, that it is a blessing for you and me to be given the opportunity to worship and to serve awesome God that we have and to serve our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, God is looking for you. God is looking for His children. He's looking for everyone to worship Him. He's not just looking for the really good guy or the really good girl. He's not looking for just them only to worship Him. God is looking for the adulterer to come and worship Him. Do you agree with that? He's looking for the one today that's caught up in an adulterous relationship and don't know how to escape it. God is calling you. You're the prodigal. He wants you to come to Him. Rid that situation and put God first and foremost in your life. Walk in faith and not by the flesh of this world. Walk in faith and not by just the sight of the things that we're seeing. Walk in faith and not just by the monetary support. walk in faith and do what God is calling us to do, not fulfilling fleshly desires. Are we there, brothers and sisters? Make sure that we're doing that. God is calling that adulterer to stop the relationship and come and get to know who the Almighty God is. God is also calling the fornicator, the one that's involved in mess outside of a marriage. Get it right. God is calling you. He's looking for the drunkard today, not to judge you, but to help rid you of that problem. Amen? To help bring you into His bosom, to help you in your walk of life. But He's looking for that drunkard. God is looking for the one that has fallen from grace, the one that was a faithful Christian at one time, but has now turned his back on God. God is looking for the sinner that is dying in his sin. He's looking for you. God is calling His children, and He's calling us to come home. That's what He wants. God desires that all, everyone, come to Him with a repentant heart. Acts chapter 17, down in verse 30. God's looking for you. He's looking for me. God created us in His own image. He created us in perfection, didn't He? Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. God created us for a reason, and that reason is so that we may live our life glorifying Him and honoring Him in all that we say and all that we do. Colossians 3, 17. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so before they may see your glorifying your... Finish it? Very good. God is looking for the one that is sitting today. Listen, God is looking for the one that's sitting right on the edge of the pew, right on the edge of getting things right in a relationship with God, right on the edge of knowing what God's calling us to do. Sadly, the devil is powerful too, isn't he? Sometimes the devil will tell you in your mind, don't worry about that. You don't want to have to be part of the church or just a bunch of hypocrites and a bunch of judges. There are a bunch of this and a bunch of that. I'll take God's word over man's word any day. Amen? Y'all agree with that? And Jesus says, come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's exactly right. You've not ever received a better invitation than that. Neither have I. God gives us the invitation to make sure that we're doing what He wants us to do. So remember, seriously, brothers and sisters, I know that there's some sitting on the edge of the pew, and God does too. He's waiting, and He's looking for you to march down that aisle. He's looking for you to make that confession. He's looking for you to put Him on in your life. God is calling you home, and it's time to come home. The third and final point in this lesson will go with you. Christ is looking for you and me to fulfill the Great Commission. I conclude all but three times I've concluded my lesson from the pulpit. We are indeed. Enough times that you actually memorize that. Sometimes we have visitors that will come in and remember it from the last time that they were here. But we are indeed our brother's keeper, aren't we? Sometimes we have to be reminded of that. God is looking. Listen to me. Here's your third point. Listen to this. God's looking for you and me to fulfill that great commission. God is looking for workers. God has a work that each and every accountable human being here can do. It's God's desire, brothers and sisters, that you and I be about our Father's business. In Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, He said, go into all these different nations. He said, make disciples of them. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then He didn't say to leave them alone like a bunch of the Lord's churches are doing today. He said, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And then He gives us a promise. And He says, I'll be with you always, when? To the end of age. Jesus tells us what we should be doing. He tells us how today that you and I should be building up His church, the church that was established by Christ Himself. Matthew 16, 18, I say to you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. Let's be sure, brothers and sisters, that we're not selfish. I'm afraid that sometimes we find ourselves being selfish talking to your preacher. And the reason I say that is I'm not sharing God with enough people. Amen? We all need to be sure that we're not selfish. Share God with everybody that we can. Share God. We need to be talking about His great love. We need to be talking about His soul-saving grace. Let's share with others the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they too might become a faithful child of Almighty God. As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been commissioned by Jesus Christ. You've been commissioned to be your brother's keeper. So when you read about that and you hear about that, if you're a Christian, when you walked out of that or came out of that water and gave a baptism, the Lord handed you your commission. Amen? You now are commissioned to go and to preach and to teach, either by word of mouth or by the lifestyle that you live, by the way you act and the way that you react. He's telling us how we are to be a godly individual. You've accepted that responsibility. You accepted the responsibility to be your brother's keeper. You've accepted the responsibility to be a worker in God's vineyard. You accepted the responsibility to be steadfast and immovable and always abounding in the word and work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, down in verse 58. As a Christian, you and I have many, many spiritual blessings. But just as a reminder, let me mention again, as I have in many services before, that with all these blessings also comes responsibilities. Matthew 16, 15, 16 is a responsibility. Go preach. He who believes and is baptized shall be, but he who believes not shall be. Okay, very good. And then to make sure again that we're letting our light shine. By now, you ought to know that God is looking for his children. His faithful children to continue to be faithful, and he's looking for his unsaved children to come home. Are we in agreement with that so far? So today, if you are a child of the Most High God, you are a Christian, but you've erred from the truth, God is looking for you to come back home. Don't be the prodigal. Come back. Return to the Father. Jesus has his hands spread out, his arms spread out. He'll welcome you back. We will welcome you back. The Lord's church will do what God's calling us to do. We will emulate Christ in that manner. If you've wandered from the fold of safety, get it right. Today, if you're not a Christian, there is no better time than to become one. To hear God's word, to believe and know that Jesus is God's son, to know in your heart, to know for a fact that Jesus died for you and he died for me. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again. He's now sitting at the right side of the Father. He's our attorney, isn't he, with God? We are also to make a change in life. We must repent. If you repent, I'll save you. If you don't, you're going to die lost. That's what he says in Luke 13, 3 and 5. Upon that confession of faith, we're to be baptized because the minister said to be. Maybe I messed up. We're to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins because the Lord instructs for us to be baptized. Amen? Thought I'd pull a Kevin there for just a second. The reality is to be baptized upon that confession of faith, to live a faithful life how long? Live a faithful life how long? Unto death. Very good. Got some dozing. All right, and then when we live a faithful life unto death, we must always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. We have a responsibility to others that are around us. Today, if there's a need, any need at all, we invite you to come right now as together we stand and we sing.